Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon. I'm so happy. Monday, here we go again. There was a opinion piece yesterday in the Hartford Current. Opinion. Current editorial slamming Lamont over COVID-19 response in Connecticut was unfair. This is written by or signed by under the names of three CEOs of healthcare plans. And it's wonderful to see how the rigged system works. And this is what I love most about anything we're talking about. What political story comes along that doesn't teach us and give us an opportunity to learn better about how government works? And my goal for us all is to get better at coming to a default assumption of just how corrupt and insidious and against us, by its very nature, power is. And it doesn't matter if it's these CEOs of healthcare companies who happen to be working with the governor and want him to love them so he can give them policy love, and they want to love him back so he can give them corporate love. They all benefit from each other. The powerful sit and have coffee together so they can talk about ways they can help each other to get more power and to hold on to the power they have. And the rest of us have coffee together in order that we can better understand how we're getting the shaft by those people, those CEOs at the next table. That's just how it works. So that's what I see our mission here as being every day on WTIC. That is studying those guys as they have their coffee, listening in on the conversation, and gaining better insights. So this column that was in the Current this morning, called Opinion, Current Editorial Slamming Lamont Was Unfair, by Marna Borgstrom and Jeffrey Flax and Dr. John Murray, is a lot of political backslapping bulldung. And if you have any doubt that I might be exaggerating or being overly cynical, listen to this silly first sentence. April 1st was a momentous day for Connecticut, as residents and workers 16 and older became eligible for COVID-19 vaccines. Now, if you've been paying, this is a ridiculous statement, and a condescending, it's just crazy to say something like this. Anybody who's been paying any attention at all knows that the opening up of age groups to eligibility for the vaccine bears no contact to reality. There is no cause and effect there. The reason the states, all the governors, have been racing to open up wide without any regard for the fact that there are no vaccines available to take care of the people for whom they are now opening things up. The reason they're doing that is because Joe Biden wanted to be able to say that the whole country is going to be open up by X date. That's all. It's just part of how the powerful sit there and have coffee together and figure out how to con those of us at the big table sitting down the way a bit from them and making too much noise. April 1 was not a momentous day for Connecticut, as residents and workers 16 and older became eligible for COVID-19 vaccines, because those 16-year-olds won't be getting vaccines for a long time. So that's a con line. They start with a con line. The second sentence of this op-ed in The Current. That same day, The Current's editorial, here are the three mistakes Governor Ned Lamont is making, took issue with recent decisions made by the governor during this pandemic. As healthcare CEOs and co-chairs of the governor's health systems response team, we firmly believe that the collaborative nature of the state's response has continued to place us among the nation's leaders in facing down this pandemic. Leaders, yes, in the number of deaths. Leaders, yes, in the number of nursing home deaths. Not number one, but fighting to get up there. Bull dung. This was written, it sounds like, in cooperation with the communications team at the governor's office, so they would know which lies the governor wanted them to help perpetrate. And then their point breaks down, their column breaks down into three points. And the first one starts off, they like to put the dumbest thing in the first sentence. Point one, Lamont listens to the experts. How kind of them to put this in the paper today for me, because that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. If you were listening to George this morning, you might have heard him play some of the sound that I'm going to share with you now. It's an interview I did that's going to appear on this week's edition of the What Divides Us podcast. This is a podcast I do each week with Av Harris, the former communications officer, chief communications officer for Governor Lamont's Department of Public Health. He was fired a couple months ago, but up until that point had been the DPH spokesman for the entire first couple of years, the entirety of the governor's Department of Public Health until that moment. Lamont listens to the experts say to us, the three big CEOs of the big healthcare companies. All right, let's listen to a little of my chat with Av Harris, who's a devout Department of Public Health guy, looks at things through the prism of Department of Public Health or public health officials, and thinks in terms of what's best for public health, which you can see why he didn't fit into the Lamont administration and why they had to get rid of him. Anyway, sorry, I had to throw that in. I just want to play some tape for you and then get your reactions. 860-522-9842. I wanted to ask you one more thing, though, because you did say that there was a problem between the Department of Public Health having certain goals and ideas and then trying to get those accepted by the governor's office, and that the governor's office wouldn't necessarily do what you guys wanted. Do you know how those decisions were made at the governor's office? And were those circular decisions going round and round with you guys being respected, or is it more like you would make a recommendation and then you'd get a directive that ignored your recommendation or maybe partially accepted it or what have you?
So I only know a certain amount. And I will tell you that in the beginning of the pandemic, Dr. Matthew Carter and I went over to the then chief of staff to the governor, Ryan Drazewicz, and we sat in his office with him and with Max Rees, and we said, this is coming.
Just so you know, Dr. Matthew Carter is the state epidemiologist. He's a UConn professor, associate professor at UConn, a similar position at Yale Department of Public Health. And again, he's the Dr. Fauci of the state. And early on in the pandemic, he was at press conferences and he was the go-to guy for the science. And then he disappeared. And Av has the story here of the disappearance of Dr. Matthew Carter.
With him and with Max Rees. And we said, this is coming.
And Max Rees is the spokesman for the governor, who says, Joe Blow, NBC, Connecticut, who Steve makes fun of all the time.
With him and with Max Rees, and we said, this is coming, and it's a big deal, and we need to inform the people of Connecticut that it's coming. And this is going to mean big changes, and a lot of people are going to be infected. We're not going to be able to contain this. It's coming, and we better get ready. And I distinctly remember that time as being a time in which the governor's office was involving DPH personnel in the decision making. And we were very quickly, we were all situated in the Emergency Operations Center in the State Armory. And we were all sitting around a big table trying to figure out what to do, what decisions needed to be made about nursing homes and visitation to nursing homes, and, you know, and purchases that needed to be made about, you know, for PPE or for medicines and hospital beds that needed to be created. And so the leadership of DPH and the head of the infectious disease section, with a tremendous amount of experience doing outbreak investigations and had dealt with other pandemics such as Ebola and H1N1 flu in 2009. Ebola was in 2014. Had tremendous amount of experience and also just smart, you know, good decision makers, pragmatic people.
So I was just kind of going on about the people he was working with at DPH and how smart and experienced they were.
So there was a time in the beginning where we were all involved and we all had input and we were trying to just wrestle with these very difficult issues.
Notice how he couches that. There was a time at the beginning when we were all involved. All these experienced people with all this brain power and all this education and all these years of experience. There was a time when the governor paid a little bit of attention to us, or at least we were part of the process. Hold that thought. I want you to hear the rest of this statement because this is when it gets good. We'll take a quick break on WTIC. Lamont listens to the experts is point one of this op-ed in today's Hartford Current, written by healthcare CEOs looking to cover their butts with the governor to maintain the relationship and make sure that they've all got each other's backs and they can work together. So they want to make you think that something that is couldn't be further from the truth is operative. Why would they want to do that? And why would they need to if anybody thought that he listens to experts? Now, back to Av Harris, former spokesman for the Department of Public Health, talking about what it's like and what happened inside the Department of Public Health a year ago or so.
So there was a time in the beginning where we were all involved and we all had input and we were trying to just wrestle with these very difficult issues. But then at some point, Governor Lamont brought in his own people, you know, the best and the brightest, quote unquote. He brought in people from Yale. He brought in other people and they created this other advisory group that didn't really include the leadership of DPH. They maybe gave input, and then we were just informed that a certain decision was being made afterwards. You know, Dr. Albert Koh was brought in from Yale. There were others who were brought in, and I got to know Dr. Albert Koh, and he's a brilliant epidemiologist and public health researcher. But there were others, and I don't even know the full extent of who were the close decision makers. Now, Dr. Gifford. Commissioner Deidre Gifford, who's currently the Commissioner of Public Health, the one who fired me, she was part of this core group of people who were then making all the public health decisions.
All right, so just to be clear what's going on here, he's describing how a year ago, all of the fine, experienced, knowledgeable people paid by the state of Connecticut working in the Department of Public Health to make public health policy, Ned decided he was sick of them, wanted nothing to do with them. So now it's not just the legislature that he's put on ice, but he's put the Department of Public Health, the man who listens to the scientists from the party that respects science, that believes the science, fires the scientists, but keeps paying them. He just doesn't use them anymore. He just isn't interested in their opinion. He doesn't want to know what they think anymore. Because why? Because Governor Ned Lamont, who listens to the experts, makes his own little private team of insiders. And it's that private team of insiders the governor turns to for direction. This includes the consulting firm, which he hired and worked for several states, whose job it was to make COVID policy, political policy, to merge the two into a single thing, to make sure governors could follow a plan that would get them reelected. And part of that was having a big consulting firm from Boston making a policy that several states were using, and therefore you would have cover automatically. Well, this wasn't for me. This was from the top consulting firm in the country on such things. And it wasn't just me, but it was Massachusetts and it was Rhode Island. You know the game that they play to make sure they can't be held responsible for their own flawed pretend leadership. Governor Lamont wanted total control, but let's back off a little bit and put this in a larger context. What else is going on? There's no legislature. There is no political process. There is no news coverage. The news machinery, what feeble, unoiled, squeaky, creaky news media there is in the state of Connecticut, and the tiny newspapers and the all-flash and no-content TV coverage, that can do nothing to provide information because there are no sources of information and there are no reporters available to ask those non-existent sources questions. Because if you went to the Department of Health, Public Health, if you knew somebody there, they would have nothing to say because they don't know what the policy is and they don't even know how it gets created because Ned has taken it down to Greenwich, where he and his wife and a few friends and a few insiders and a few beautiful people who they want to be seen with secretly make the policy. It's not just the political process he shut down at the legislative level. It's also the COVID-making level. There is policy level. There is no public policy. It's private policy made by King Ned and issued by decrees with nobody having the power to push back against it and nobody wanting to try even. Republicans so defeated in the state, the Republican Party so crushed by mismanagement and disinterest that it just sits there still doing nothing, raising no voices, making no noise, having no protests, using no imagination, doing nothing to stop the debacle of what is coming out of Governor Lamont's office. It's unreal. So let's see if we can get the rest of this in.
When she was brought in as public health commissioner in May, there was a very different dynamic, which was a small number of people advised by people that nobody saw were making all of the decisions and then informing the rest of us what those decisions were going to be. There were people with a tremendous amount of experience at the Department of Public Health who knew their stuff and, you know, knew their subject matter, who were cut out of decision making. And, you know, that's just the way it was. And if we wanted, oftentimes what we told each other at DPH was, if we wanted to know how the governor was going to come down on a certain decision, public health decision during the pandemic, we should just tune in the news conferences that he would do on Mondays or Thursdays, because that's when we would find out, just like everybody else did, by watching television.
Well, actually, everyone finds out by listening to it here on WTIC. There'll be one coming up at 4 o'clock, as a matter of fact. More coming up. Stay with us after news. More on WTIC. Good afternoon. It's WTIC. Thanks so much for being here. Monday. We're talking about the governor, somebody we'd like to talk about because we have to and because he gives us an opportunity, given that he's so transparent, so two-dimensional in the way he contrives his approach to the job into that of being the face of an administration that is kept locked up and invisible, hidden from us, so that he can go out and do what apparently he's done with great comfort and skill his whole life, and that is to make it seem like everything is under control and that he knows what's going on. And both those things obviously could not be further from the truth. 860-522-9842. So we're breaking down some of the revelations of the last few days. Let's just listen to this last part again.
When she was brought in as public health commissioner in May, there was a very different dynamic, which was a small number of people advised by people that nobody saw were making all of the decisions and then informing the rest of us what those decisions were going to be.
The rest of us meaning those who worked in the Department of Public Health. So Av Harris, the man speaking, former head spokesperson for the Department of Public Health, for Governor Ned Lamont, for his entire administration until January, was there through the whole COVID thing. And what he's saying is, for the first few weeks, the internal apparatus of state government and its public health professionals. They were on the job. And then the governor took them off the job. He closed them out of the conversation, assembled his own team of family and friends to advise him in private. And that is not what trusting the experts is all about. That is not what trusting the science is all about.
There were people with a tremendous amount of experience at the Department of Public Health who knew their stuff and, you know, knew their subject matter, who were cut out of decision making. And, you know, that's just the way it was. And if we wanted, oftentimes what we told each other at DPH was, if we wanted to know how the governor was going to come down on a certain decision, a public health decision during the pandemic, we should just tune in the news conferences that he would do on Mondays or Thursdays, because that's when we would find out, just like everybody else did by watching television.
Just like everybody else, the frontline scientists and public health professionals, which, by the way, is not healthcare. It's public health. It's its own thing. Public health professionals. They claim, the Democrats do, the Lamontes do, they pretend to care about things that matter. They pretend to care about the science. What they care about is the power. They care about using the money from state government and the power that they have to attract high-level people. Why do you think, back to this CEO penned opinion piece in The Current this morning with, you know, this is what CEOs do. CEOs are the head politician of a corporate environment. And their job is to present a face of the company to the world, to make sure the company's interface with other blocks of power, that those interactions are as positive for the company as possible. So you have three biggies, Marna Borgstrom, Jeffrey Flax, and Dr. John Murphy. And they're penning this piece that's in the Herald today, objecting to one of those rare pieces in the Hartford Current that takes issue with the horrible leadership that the governor has offered on this, and with the secrecy and with the canceling of Democratic government and all the things that the governor has done, which they are just bad on their face, but they set us up for this kind of story that we're getting from Av Harris. And that is that these structures were built the way they were built in order to protect us from the exact behavior that the governor has engaged in. The reason you structure things a certain way is to protect the power that is on loan from the people in the hands of these elected officials. You don't want them running around making their own secret teams. You don't want the governor bringing his wife in. If you were listening to George this morning, you heard George talk about how his investigation of how things work with the governor's wife, the Wall Street tycoon, who has investments that appear to represent a strong conflict of interest. It's a strong appearance of a strong conflict of interest. Annie Lamont, the tycoon, the brains of the family, the dynamo of the family, and Ned Lamont, the kind of wimpy, non-threatening face that goes off into politics but creates this bridge for her. Look at it this way, just as a hypothetical, that it's actually Annie Lamont who is the governor of the state. And she has pushed Ned into this position. It's like she's Mo and Ned's Larry. And she's got him in this job so that she can be in control, because Mo controls everything of the Stooges, right? Think about it like that, and think about that this wonderful opportunity comes along very soon into their term. They waste a year doing the most inept, incompetent, and stupid move, and that is to go back on a campaign promise and try to get tolls passed, and spend a whole year squandering what would be a time of fruitful legislating and moving flows of money from old people to new people, which is what politicians like to do during their first year. All kinds of legislation would have been passed, and instead, Ned squanders the year campaigning for tolls. And after that year, along comes salvation. Along comes a beautiful moment, and that is COVID. And they must have had some great parties, just sitting down with friends, dinner parties, you know, brainstorming COVID and all the wonderful opportunities it represented. And how exactly do you use state money to hire a top business consultant and a top political consultant to make sure that the governor's career is advanced by COVID as much as possible? How do you handle the decision making to make sure that it's done in total secret so nothing bad can ever come back and upset the governor's reputation? How do you position yourself for re-election and make sure that any decision that's made, that you have maximum walk-away ability from those decisions? And if you watch what the governor's done, it's carefully crafted by sophisticated political minds, top-notch political manipulators. How do you make sure you've been on every side of every issue so people can see in you what they choose? And no matter what you're accused of doing, you always can point to say, that's not true. Look, I said over there that that was important. On this day for 30 seconds, I said that. Listen, let's go back to a little more Av Harris.
I remember Dr. Carter looking at the governor, you know, taken aback and saying, you know, all he's ever dealt with in his whole life is numbers and science, and he just speaks fact. And he had a tremendous amount of respect, and he still does. And I remember shortly thereafter, Dr. Carter was not included in any of the daily briefings anymore. And the governor was not comfortable with how blunt and brutally honest he was being. But you need that. You need that. You need that type of advice to tell you, you know, to help you make good decisions. It's not about, you know, delivering good news and things that sound good.
So this is another. The first cut I played you was Av Harris explaining how the governor put his own Department of Public Health on ice and just stopped using them to guide public policy, and instead used his own secret team. And this is part of a conversation. Let me go back a little further just so you get more of the context here.
And so that meant, you know, oh, my God, for Connecticut with 3.5 million people, 10% would be 350,000.
Nope, I didn't go back far enough. Let me go a little more. This is Av telling a story of Dr. Matthew Carter, the state epidemiologist, being too honest for the governor. And it's a good story. So I want you to hear the whole context.
And I remember witnessing a conversation at the very beginning of the pandemic between him and Governor Lamont. And it took place right in front of me. And I saw it with my own eyes. And it was at the very beginning. And Dr. Carter said that in his estimation, with 35 years of investigating infectious diseases in Connecticut and outbreaks of infectious diseases, he estimated that around, you know, 5 to 10% of the population would be infected with COVID-19.
What were those numbers again?
That Dr. Carter's estimate was that between 5 to 10% of the population would be infected with COVID-19. Or maybe it was even higher than that, but I remember the number 10% being used, and that we may see a mortality rate of maybe 1%. And so that meant, you know, oh my God, for Connecticut with 3.5 million people, 10% would be 350,000 people. Of those that get infected, 1% of those would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 people, you know, maybe more. And when we look at the numbers of what we have seen so far in the pandemic, he was 100% correct. He was exactly right. And I remember he said this during the beginning of the pandemic, and it seemed like a shocking figure to share with people. And I remember the governor telling him, you know, don't say it like that. It doesn't sound very good, you know.
All right, now focus in on this. This is the governor of the state of Connecticut. COVID's coming. He is chief epidemiologist, Dr. Matthew Carter, a professor at UConn, a professor at Yale School of Public Health. Top-notch scientists. What does Jolly Ned, this is how he earned the nickname Jolly Ned. What does Jolly Ned say in response when he's getting it told to him like it is?
Here to share with people. And I remember the governor telling him, you know, don't say it like that. It doesn't sound very good. You know, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound like good news. And I remember Dr. Carter looking at the governor.
Can you imagine being a professional person, being a scientist, and working for the governor from the party that believes in science, and working for the governor who respects science, the compassionate, loving Governor Lamont? And the governor looks at him when he tells him the truth about what COVID's going to do. It's going to kill, probably 5,000 people, which was an underestimate, if that's what he said, because we're now at 8,000. But nevertheless, the governor wasn't ready to hear it. The governor wasn't listening to the science. He was scared of the science because you're not supposed to say bad things out loud. You could get Jolly Ned in trouble. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break. Talk more coming up on WTIC. WTIC. Yeah, somebody just sent me a text. They said, the governor doesn't trust his own government and he thinks we should. Whoa. Well, that puts things in context, doesn't it?
You know, taken aback and saying, you know, all he's ever dealt with in his whole life is numbers and science. And he just speaks fact. And he had a tremendous amount of respect, and he still does. And I remember shortly thereafter, Dr. Carter was not included in any of the daily briefings anymore.
That was it. Dr. Matthew Carter, the state epidemiologist, Yale School of Public Health, not good enough for Ned Lamont. He's got his own insiders. Maybe they're planning. Maybe they're insiders who are planning some kind of investment with Annie. Maybe they're corporate insiders, and the governor is making sure that whatever policy he's doing with the state is enhancing some company that he has an interest in for some reason. Could be a personal investment. Could be he sees them at one of the country clubs. Could be he's got some other thing he wants to do with them. Remember the great Dalio caper and how badly that worked out for the people of the state. Ned wears the clothes of a liberal Democrat, and yet he is the consummate one percenter, born rich, walking in rich circles, only knowing how to think and feel and do what the very, very pampered rich their whole lives think and feel and do. And that is work their networks of special friends and special favors. They sit at the fancy table with the fancy people at the coffee shop, wishing we would keep it down so that they could concentrate as they try to figure out how they're going to make things work, not for us, but for themselves. This is the thing that power is inclined to do, because this is what humans are inclined to do. You build your alliances, you build your communities, you build your tribe, and you do what's best for your tribe. You protect your tribe. But in politics, in government, in leadership, we're supposed to be the tribe. We're supposed to be the people. It just doesn't work out that way anymore. It doesn't work out that way anymore. Even Charles Barkley, did you hear this Barkley cut? Listen to him explain this. It's so wonderful. Charles Barkley, the former NBA star.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece was, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people, but we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Charles Barkley, well done, sir.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.